Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
And we all know the Christmas story. A big fat guy coming from the North Pole, you know, with a bunch of reindeer, bringing presents to all those who are not naughty on his list. And that's not the story? Okay, just one. Wow. Got a little confused there, but I think you all know the story. Then in the middle of the story of Christmas, there may be some things that sometimes may go unseen or, you know, unnoticed. And some people actually may be noticed, but not to the extent that or we may not pay much attention to them. And today I want to talk about such a person in the Christmas story. Today I want to talk to you about Joseph. Have you seen the movie The Nativity Story? Okay, if you haven't seen it, I really recommend you take a gander at that. It's a really good movie. Now, 100%, you know, this is a movie made by Hollywood, but there's a lot of truth ringing through it. And there may be some scenes where you're like, yeah, I don't know about that, you know. But they have to put some flair into it, you know. For example, on their way down to Egypt when they're fleeing from Herod, actually when they're on their way down to Bethlehem, she falls off the donkey into the river. That's not in the story, of course. You won't read that in the Bible. But they were just throwing some flair into the thing and seeing Joseph protecting Mary from a serpent and protecting Mary from drowning. And then you see her as she is wiping his feet with some of the cloth and water, because his feet are just about all shot up and bleeding, because he's been walking through this whole, you know, ordeal of almost 100 miles to take her to Bethlehem. And she's on a donkey and he's walking, so she's wiping his feet. And, you know, it just tells a little story about how they had to go through so much hardship probably and so much difficulty. And I want you to think in putting on Joseph's sandals here for a second, so that we can hear the story from and think about how he went and what happened to him throughout this whole thing. And you see, sometimes people just don't notice, but some people are actually interested. And I heard a story about a little boy who went to audition, you know, a little school play for Christmas, and when he wanted to get the part of Joseph, and unfortunately, he didn't get it. Another kid got it. So he kind of got upset. He's like, you know what? This is messed up. He got the part of the innkeeper. It's like, what is the innkeeper? I don't want to be the innkeeper. I wanted to be Joseph. And he started looking at that other kid now with envy. And he said, I'm gonna do it to you. You're gonna watch me when we do the play. Yeah, I'm going to make it really hard on you, Joseph. So he plotted that he was going to mess up Joseph during the play. So when they showed up, and little Joseph and little Mary show up at the innkeeper's door, and they say, you know, do you have a room for us? And the innkeeper said, watch me. And he goes, yes, I do. Come on in. You got the best room in the house. And everybody just like, what? And he's like, watch him and see how he's going to get out of this one. But little Joseph said, before we go into the room, can I take a look at it? And the innkeeper's like, sure. And the little Joseph goes and then he comes back out. I'm sorry, Mary, I'm not putting you in a room like that. We'll just go sleep with the animals. Might even be better. You see, he got out of it, you see. And the thing is that sometimes we don't notice some of the things that happen in the story with such an important character as Joseph, and he might just be overlooked. Now, of course, he is not the center of the story. The center of a story has another name, and his name is Jesus. But it is important that we understand. And I want to talk to you about the life of Joseph for a second, a life of courage. I want you to think about this, courage. I want you to think of courage as it is displayed throughout Joseph's story, inside the story. You see, he was a man that was chosen by God to adopt. Think about this. Chosen by God to adopt his only begotten son. You see, while he's on earth, you're going to be the father of my child. Can you imagine the privilege? Can you imagine the position in which Joseph was put, where he was placed by God? And what, oh my goodness, what a purpose. God selected Joseph to protect this infant child who was his son incarnate. And the first few years of Jesus' life were dangerous. Now we know how the story ended up. But yet it was dangerous, and Joseph was there for him. And God selected him to do the job. We're going to see the description that the Bible gives us of Joseph in just a moment. And it is amazing. So I want you to think as if you've seen Joseph in a different light today and see his courage. Helping a woman who is pregnant, who is not even his child, and he has to take her as his wife and be the father of this child. Think about the shame that they carried around in the town of Nazareth. He lived a moral life. You see, in an immoral world, he was a righteous man. But I want you to think about this, because he was an ordinary blood, flesh and blood man, just like you and me. And life wasn't easy for him. And sometimes life is not going to be easy on you. And it's going to require that you and I also have courage. And I want you to look at this story as it unfolds so we can see the amazing courage of Joseph. And let's look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, this word betrothed is not what we think of engagement necessarily in this time. We think of engagement, you know, the guy gives the girl a ring, and we're going to get married. Life continues and goes on, and they start planning the wedding, and they stay in their homes, and that's it. It just means we're going to get married. But in this case, when you think about this word, this became, I take responsibility for you even before you get to live with me, even before we get to become one, even before anything happens between you and I am now bound to you. I belong to you. We're not married yet, but you belong to me and I belong to you. We're responsible to one another, period. Nothing else. And it was like being married, but you don't get to live together. You get to stay apart. But you're married. You didn't know that. But you have to get married now. It's a different commitment to what we see today. And people misconstrue all this stuff because we know how all these commitments happen today. People today do it whatever way they actually feel or want to do, unfortunately. And we see people who give a ring and then they take it back. Or they just give you a ring and then they say, you may as well keep it, but I ain't marrying you. Or they just take the ring and then they say, well, I'm taking the ring and I'm not marrying you either. Well, they just don't, we don't need a ring, we'll just move in together. And we'll get married whenever we get married. Or we'll just get married one day, well, we'll think about it. Well, I'll give you a friendship ring to start with because I don't know if I want to marry you anyway. You know, we think about all these little commitments that we make, and they're not nowhere near the commitment that God makes to us and he expects us to make with one another according to, oh my God, I'm getting into this. And I just read one verse. That's the commitment they were having, because that's what God required. And Joseph, her husband, you see that? They were in an engagement. They were not married yet. It says, Joseph, her husband. being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly when he found out she was pregnant. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Notice that it says, he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of coming to your word and seeing the truth unfold. And we pray, O God, as you speak to us today, that you would instill in our hearts this truth about courage and obedience and sacrifice that we see in the life of Joseph. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, Joseph, he had a dilemma, didn't he? You think about a dilemma. You have a girlfriend, and you're engaged to her, and all of a sudden she says, I'm pregnant. Well, what do you mean you're pregnant, right? Well, my goodness, you think about it. The first two verses, of course, we see the dilemma. We see that it says in verse 18 that she was found to be pregnant with a child. And then in verse 19, it says that Joseph, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. The word send away means divorce. I'll just secretly divorce her. That's what he was thinking. That's as a righteous, remember, he's mentioned here as a righteous man. He just didn't want to harm her. He just didn't want all the shame and all the guilt and all that stuff. And probably protecting her too. But what is going on? Can you think about Joseph in his mind when he gets this news? He's probably thinking, what in the world is going on, God? What did I do? Have you ever felt that way? When something happens and you're like, God, what did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening in my life? Why is all this confusion? Why did you allow something in my life that I just don't think it's fair? This is not what I hoped for. This is not what I thought about. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I thought you would do. When your circumstances just change and they don't make sense, what do? You find yourself in a dilemma like Joseph. You get confused and probably you'll have doubts. And I'm pretty sure Joseph was in the same predicament. Why? He was engaged. He was willing, he was committed, but yet, how could this possibly happen? Betrayal? There was only one logical conclusion. She had been unfaithful. She did not fulfill her vows. That had to be it. Of course, they were not married, but this was a sacred engagement. See, Joseph had two options according to the law. One, he could take her, publicly shame her, and divorce her in the court of justice. He could have done that publicly. And even at that, if you think about it, she could have been stoned to death. But we'll talk about that in a second. Or he had another option, which was also legal. He could put her away secretly, divorce her in a private divorce. You know, that's what happens today. People either go public or go private. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people going public with what they need to keep private. Attention seeking. That's all there is to it. We crave that attention. We want our name in lights. Because we want to be famous in everybody's eyes. You've heard the song. Unfortunately, we may not be that famous, but we kind of crave the attention. But you see, Joseph is thinking, what do we do here? So he's agonizing over what he's done, what he could do, I'm pretty sure. Think about the shock. What do you mean? I thought you were pure. I thought you were faithful. I thought, oh my God, think about the sorrow. Now I have to make a decision. Now, what do I do with this woman? What are people going to say around Nazareth? He must have felt betrayed, of course. So anger had to set in. You see, none of this stuff that I'm saying is necessarily said here in the Word, but I'm a human. And if I put Joseph's sandals, I'll be shocked. I'll be also, you know, in deep sorrow and anger over all of this. Joseph was a man of flesh and blood just like me. He had to have all these emotions and mixed feelings. But he was a righteous man. No one could blame him if he just said, you know what? Forget her. I don't want her. But Joseph had something. Not his own righteousness. He was called righteous because he was a believer. I'm pretty sure. Because it is God's righteousness upon us that actually truly makes us righteous. Because no one is righteous in their own self. And this is the word of God. And if he says that Joseph was a righteous man, I believe that Joseph had to be a true believer in God, who acted upon God's commands in obedience. His character. And his character probably is what enabled him, this godly character enabled him to process the sorrow, to process the shock, and to take this anger and contain it, and to be able to develop something different in his life. This life of courage. You see, Joseph cultivated a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. I want you to think about that for a second. Joseph reacts totally different than what expected. I think it's because once you come to value God's compassion for yourself, once we come to value God's compassion for us, our compassion for others will flourish. When we start valuing, we start seeing God's compassion for us for what it truly is, then my compassion for others, it's just a natural flow out of that. It's an outflow of God's compassion over my own life. He didn't want to expose her in a public disgrace. Now, I think it's because he had a relationship with God. He was an upright, he was righteous. This means that he had a strong relationship with God, that he became like God in his character. Isn't that what God expects from all of us? That we have such a relationship with him that we become like him. I want you to think of something. Before we have the courage to stand against others, we need to have the courage to stand against ourselves. See, he had all the right to stand against Mary. But he understood that it was something different, that he needed to exercise compassion. And think about this, because we still don't have information yet as of Joseph getting information and saying, hey, by the way, this kid is of the Holy Spirit. He hasn't had the dream. He hasn't had the revelation from the angel saying, you take on this task because this is what God wants for you. We need to have the courage to stand against ourselves. You see, Joseph was a disciplined man, apparently, because he knew what he had to do, and he wanted to do the right thing no matter what. This is a great picture of love, let me tell you. I mean, his heart is aching. He is hurt. He's got to be hurt. And even though he had been humiliated, because I want you to think about it, he would be the talk of the town in Nazareth, so would Mary, right? He didn't do anything. It was her. So he could have done something differently, but he had developed a heart of compassion, and he was able to restrain his anger and treat Mary in a different way, with compassion and love. I think Joseph, when you look at him then in this light, is the personification of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 7. where love is described. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it's not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. You see, it does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It's not taken into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. You can see the love of Joseph. You can see love all around in Joseph in this simple verse right here. And you know what? You may be facing a dilemma today. In your life, it may not be the same as Joseph. But what do? You do what Joseph did. You allow the character of Christ developing in you to help you show compassion for others before you show your own justice. We can learn from Joseph how important it is for us to cultivate a heart of compassion in our own lives. You see, we need to give God access to our heart in so many ways. Oh, yeah, God, I'll give you access to my heart. As a matter of fact, I prayed a prayer 25 years ago to open my heart to let you in. You have access. No, I'm talking about giving access to the deepest parts, to the darkest parts of your heart where you don't want anyone to go, where you don't even dare go yourself. So that way you can cultivate a heart of compassion and exercise righteousness and live in righteousness like Joseph did. But that's not the only thing. I want you to think about it, because Joseph had a dilemma, but now Joseph has a dream. Now, I'm going to go there in a second, but I want you to look at verse 20 and 21. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord. You see that? He had considered already secretly leaving her so he wouldn't damage her. But then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So he's given instructions. He has a dream. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there, you know, just trying to figure out a dilemma or something in your life, and you're at a crossroads and you don't know what to do? Maybe you're here today thinking about something that you need to make a decision about. Maybe you're in a dilemma at home with your spouse or with your children, or with your parents, or with someone at work. I don't know. Well, there's good news. Let me tell you something. God wants to intervene. God wants to get in your business. But you need to listen to his message. You need to listen to what he wants to tell you. God uses an angel to speak to Joseph in a dream about this miraculous plan. I may not call myself an angel, but watch out. God may actually speak through me to you, or through anyone. A dream. Gave him the message in a dream. You see, Joseph had a dilemma. He examined his options, and then he came up with a solution on his own. On his own. On his own reconnaissance, he said, you know what? I'm just going to leave her secretly because I don't want to damage her. But he slept on it. Have you ever been told that? You know, sleep on it. Before you take action, sleep on it. Now, God wants to speak to you this morning, but not through a dream, so don't try falling asleep right now, okay? Don't try to tell me, okay, Pastor, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a nap right now, and maybe God will speak to me through you while you're asleep. No, don't you dare fall asleep while I'm talking. But through his word, you need through people, through circumstances, and through prayer, God wants to speak to you, and he wants to intervene with whatever dilemma you may be facing in your life. See, oftentimes, it happens to us, just like Joseph. We face a dilemma, and we only see the solution from a human perspective. This is the right thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. This is what we need to do. But we forget that somebody called it the God factor. We forget the God factor. Sometimes we forget to factor in what God can do, because he is miraculous and he is powerful. See, no matter what dilemma we face, God always has something to say about it, right? It doesn't matter what question you may be facing in life today. It doesn't matter what crossroads you may be finding yourself at today. God has something to say about it. What dilemma you're facing, I don't know. But if you've been trying to figure out a way to make a decision or to do something in your life, before you do anything, allow God to intervene. God has this powerful skill of problem solving and to making things right. And I think the Christmas story, when seeing it through Joseph, it reminds us that there's got to be a better way, God's way, even when we don't see it. And we can experience the miracle of God's plan in our lives if we just listen to his voice and we follow his guidance. Because his plan for you is a miracle. You see, he's got something in store for each and every one of us that you would not believe except through him and with him. Amen? You see, I'm pretty sure if you're a Christian, you can look back and say, oh my God, thank you, because I'm here because you did a miracle in my life. A miracle had to happen for you to be in his care, in his purpose, and in his path. Wow. We can experience that. But you got to listen carefully, because you might get the message mixed up. You know how sometimes God speaks and you get it mixed up? You know how sometimes people tell you stories and you get them mixed up? You know how sometimes you may read the Bible and you may get some things mixed up? It's like the little five-year-old who decided to show his little brother around all of the Christmas decorations and the little manger scene at the church. And he took his little brother and he started going and says, here are the shepherds. And you see that? You see, that's little baby Jesus. And here's Mary. She is the mother of Jesus. And then he says, and that's Mary's husband right there. He's Verge. And one of the church members heard the little boy, the Verge. I'm sorry, you know that Mary's husband's name is Joseph, not Verge. Oh, no, it's Verge, because I hear the pastor all the time saying Virgin Mary. You don't have to laugh. I know you have a mask on and I can't see you, but I know. See, that's what I get for reading all these books on jokes and stuff. Amen, hallelujah. Oh, my God. But it's important to get the story straight and get it right. You may confuse Joseph's name, but get the story right, right? It's important to get it right. Whose voice are you listening to today? Whose voice are you listening to in the midst of your own dilemma? What about you? What do you do? You need to be listening to God like Joseph did. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. I don't know. I want to read this from the version or the Bible translation called The Message. But I'm going to read it for you this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's what it says in the NASB. But check out The Message. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Right? It's amazing. Joseph, no doubt, was trying to figure out which is the way to do things right. What do I do? He was trying to figure out on his own, but he needed something extra. And you know, we all need that little extra something, which is the divine voice, the voice of God speaking to us. And that way it may not even make sense at the moment, but God will make sense of it for us sooner or later. And he speaks to us, use his word. You know, and a lot of people ask, well, how do I know when it's God? Well, it's God's size. How do I know when God has given me a solution? Well, when it seems impossible to you, but only possible with God's power, that may be God right there. See, God always calls his people, and he does things that just don't make sense to us in human form. But once we analyze them and we see them from God's perspective, all of a sudden they change. He told Noah to build an ark. It never rained. He told Abraham he was going to be a father of a nation, of nations. He was old in age. He was 80 years old. He told Moses to deliver his people from Pharaoh. Moses couldn't even speak for himself. He told David to defeat a giant. He told Joseph to take Mary as his wife because she was pregnant with the Son of God. Really?
How?
Imagine that. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, of course, we know it says, call on to me, says the Lord. I will answer you and I will tell you great mighty things which you do not know. You may not be able to get it now, but you'll get it eventually if you listen to him. God is a God of miracles. And no matter what dilemma you may be finding yourself trying to get through in life, God has a miracle and he has a miraculous plan for you and me. Whatever you do, wherever you face, God has something. He wants to intervene. If you just call out to him, he will speak to you and he will lead you and he will guide you through any difficult today and tomorrow. And when you do that, then you begin to experience and celebrate the miracle of God's plan for your own life. Now, we talked about cultivating a heart of compassion, and we talked about listening, but also we need to follow. If you listen, then you need to follow. You need to follow through. You need to do something. So Joseph's decision. We think about Joseph's dilemma. We think about Joseph's dream, which is God's answer. And now we think of Joseph's decision. What did he do? Here we find Joseph now putting what we call feet to his faith, walking the talk. Look at verses 24 and 25. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. See all the action right there? There's a bunch of verbs there. He did this, he did that, he did that and that and that. As soon as he woke up, as soon as he got up, as soon as he heard the voice and he recognized it was God, he just did, and did. He did everything according to the instructions of the angel. See, here's what we need to learn. Courage requires obedience. If you want to live a life of courage like Joseph, if you want to be courageous and live a life like Joseph, then true courage requires obedience. If we say we believe in God, but yet we do not obey, and our behavior shows something else than what we say we believe, then we're not living by faith. Then we're not so courageous. Joseph had to make some courageous decisions in life. He had to take for his wife a woman who was now bearing a child that wasn't his. And in so doing, of course, he had to share in that shame in town. Because now everybody was looking at her like, look at you. Imagine living in a small town. Imagine living in a small town where the law says that if you are found, you need to be stoned. Mary could have been stoned to death. Imagine living in a town where you take on this person. And when people probably make you the laughing stock of the town. Today, we don't do that. Today, we see a young lady and a young man get pregnant without getting married or anything. And we don't throw stones. We throw baby showers. And that begs the question. Is it because we have such heart of compassion? Or is it because sin has become so simple and so like nothing in our hearts that we celebrate sin? I don't know. Well, the child is not at fault. No, but they are. Think about it. That's just me. You see, he would also be undertaking the responsibility to have to provide for this child and to raise him as his own. But Joseph did exactly what the angel commanded him. Joseph was courageous in faith. And you see, this just helped him overcome. Think about all the shaming, everything that they had to go through together in this small town. You see, the thing is that every time you exercise courage, you have to do it in obedience. And when you exercise courage in obedience, it will lead to sacrifice. Joseph had to make sacrifice. You see, He had the legitimate right to divorce her, to leave her, yet he kept her. And not only he kept her, I want you to see the integrity of this man. I want you to see the compassion of this man. I want you to see the obedience. How courageous was he to be obedient, and how he sacrificed. The Bible says right there that he did not take her. They did not have sexual contact until after Jesus was born. He did not go at her and say, well, you're my wife now, so let's get together. No, he respected. And this simple fact, just think about it. It also, this serves to underscore the virgin birth of Christ. This doctrine that we cannot let fall away. Because if there is no virgin birth, then the whole Christianity falls apart. If you ever hear a Christian say, well, I don't know if she was, stop. If the virgin birth is not something that you believe in your heart, you better start praying if you're a Christian. Because without that, your whole Christianity falls apart. Joseph's courage definitely was tested again and again. For the next 2 years, Joseph had nothing but to protect his child and this woman and run around and run from country to country, trying to get them to a safe place where they wouldn't be killed. The wise men came from the east and visited the family, and they worshiped Jesus, and this is great. But then the night after their visit, Joseph again is visited and said, you know what, take the family and take them away because somebody's looking to kill them. Oh my goodness, here we go again. You see, Joseph courageously is protecting his family. See, this meant that he would be months out there walking in dangerous terrain. All the sacrifices that Joseph made, and he probably walked most of the way. Like I said, in the movie, you can see where they're going through the desert, they're going through the barren country, and having all these ordeals go, and his feet are all shot and bloody. But Joseph, he just followed God's lead, period. And God trusted Joseph to father his only begotten son while on earth. Imagine that. If you obey God, who knows what he will entrust you? Be bold, be courageous, and obey. It may lead to sacrifice, but you know what? It will also lead to God's miraculous work in your life. Everybody laughed at him, probably in Nazareth, but he did the right thing. He sacrificed maybe his honor in the sight of men, but he was honorable in the sight of God. Do you know that if you read all the Gospels, if you read the whole story of Jesus' life, and you look at Joseph all the way through, there is not a single word of Joseph recorded in the Bible. Mary sang a song. Mary asked questions. Mary spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke to Mary. But there's not a single word out of Joseph's mouth that is recorded in the Bible. But I thought I was part of the story. I guess I'm not that important. But Joseph did not act that way, I hope. See, I assume that Joseph could speak. He wasn't dumb or mute. But none of his words are recorded in Scripture. As a matter of fact, he disappears from the picture. He disappears from the story when Jesus becomes a teenager, or 12 years old or so. And even at that, when you read the story, when they find Jesus, well, he got lost, right? Well, I think Mary and Joseph were more lost than Jesus anyway. But when they finally found him, Mary said, you know,
What's your problem? Where you been? We didn't even know where you were.
Joseph is silent. Not a single word from Joseph there. And then from there on, Joseph disappears. The only thing that it says about him is that he and his wife, both of them, were worried and they couldn't find Jesus. That's the last thing we hear about Joseph. You know, while he did not say much, his life speaks volumes. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive or delude themselves. Joseph proved himself. And he should be remembered always as a man of courage because he was willing to act upon the word of God even when it didn't make sense. So next time you look at a nativity scene and you see Joseph somewhere standing in the background, think of his courage. Think of his obedience. Think of his sacrifice. He was willing to walk with God on a journey of faith and righteousness. Hundreds of miles in the desert, carrying and protecting the newborn Son of God himself. You see, God is calling you and me to a journey of faith. And we may find ourselves in dilemmas and crossroads. And we need to have the courage to know which way to go. But where do you get that kind of courage? You get it from God. When you follow Him, when you do like Joseph, you can make a difference in somebody else's life, like Joseph did on Mary's life, and even on Jesus' life.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.